The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Yawning this morning and welcome back to 96.9 FM, your station for fresh Thursday, the 6th of March, 2025, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. I have guests in studio today, very excited about this conversation, and I'm glad that they are here so that they, before I introduce them, they could join me in a very, very special birthday greeting this morning. Producer, I need you at some point to find, maybe some Saxons music. You'll understand when I tell you what it's for. Or just maybe some sweet, sweet Bahamian music. Today, in fact, make it some sweet, sweet Bahamian music, whatever you want, play producer, because today is Lena Green birthday, buddy. Today is my mother's birthday. I can't tell you all how old she is because she forbid me to talk her age.
Smart.
She said it's a part of her special personal magic. Right? And I'm cool with that.
I don't know.
I don't need to know how old she is because she's timeless.
Absolutely. Vintage.
Yeah, I want to say to my mother, Lela Green, on behalf of the whole Mitchell, Boyd, and Gay family, on behalf of the whole Hannah Hasty Tynes clan, I can take public service because she worked there for a long time. On the behalf of the whole Anglican Church, because she be at Bible study every Wednesday, go to church every Sunday, participate in the church life. Happy birthday, mommy. Happy birthday, Lela Green.
Happy producer. Happy birthday.
Whenever you get the music ready, producer, we going to be ready for that. Just before we get the show started, don't miss the 2025 CONCACAF Beach Soccer Championship at Malcolm Park Beach Soccer Stadium in Nassau, on New Providence, March 11th through 16th. Watch the Junkanoo Beach Boys take on top teams like Panama and the USA and Guatemala. It's free to attend. Come out and support your team. Bahamian games scheduled for 8 p.m. That means you have time to go home, catch a fresh, catch a slam bam. Let the children eat some homemade chicken nugget. You know y'all can teach your children how to make homemade chicken nugget? I just letting y'all know, because these kids have declared, they have declared a treaty on us. We like chicken nuggets. And I cool with that. They have the right to like what they like.
Indeed.
Mrs. Green, this is for you. Now listen, I don't want y'all to slunk with Mrs. Green. At 4 a.m. this morning, she was Pond Road waking out.
All right, okay.
There
she planned on beating this road bad for whenever she's on it.
I know, that's right.
Yeah. And if I could get her ready for this Junkanoo season, I'm trying to get her in the choreography section. For the Saxons, y'all don't understand the woman waking out. Anyway, it's been my pleasure to wish you a happy, happy birthday, Mrs. Lela Green. I mean, my face, my voice, where would I be without you? I often tell the people, at heart, I'm an African. But because my mother was in the Bahamas, I decided perhaps the most appropriate thing was to be born here with her. I don't know. I okay with it. I reconcile with it. Thank you, producer. And of course, thank you, Mrs. Green, for bringing me into this world. Oh, and that's your Saxons music for you. I just want you all to know, she is the number one Saxons fan. She does row in the house when I talk about the Spirit, the greatest scrap group in the history of Junkanoo white people in the whole world. She, except for the pigs and the Methuselahs, of course. She does row. Anyway, thank you, producer. Let's get this show started. It is Thursday, the 6th of March, 2025, and we are 2 days away from International Women's Day. Joining me in studio are representatives from Equality Bahamas to give us some details about this year's National Women's Day March and Expo 2025. Equality Bahamas has been hosting this expo and march since 2017. Good morning, ladies. I'm going to move around to start with you and then to the Good morning.
Good morning.
Ms. Wallace?
Yes, I am. Alicia Wallace.
Founder and director of Equality Bahamas.
I'm Jessica Russell. I serve on the board of directors at Equality Bahamas.
Absolutely. And
in from Grand Bahama, by
yes,
the way. I flew in
just for the March and Expo.
Thank
on
you.
International Women's Day. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very, very much. Holding it down in Grand Bahama. And to my left, good morning, madam.
Good morning. I'm Claire Ayub. I'm the writer and director of Empire Waste and a huge fan of Equality Bahamas. I've been following Alicia's work and the team's work for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So excited to be here for the March and the Expo this year.
Awesome, awesome stuff. People don't believe me, but the reason I purchased my megaphone is for Equality Bahamas International Women's Day March. That's its primary job and its primary purpose. Don't mind the work it pick up on the side. We like the Police Staff Association. We prepared to lend our resources out when they are. Give us the rundown on International Women's Day, March, and Expo.
Well, first I have to say we started with our sign making and screen printing on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
If you missed that, so, so sorry for you. You can make your own sign and bring it, but we also make lots of extra signs, so you can meet us and choose your own sign. And we also had the screening of Empire Waste last night at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the NAGB for always being an amazing partner for us.
Phenomenal.
A beautiful space. We were in the amphitheater, and lots of people came and enjoyed the film.
And if I have a moment, I'm going to talk about the film because I enjoyed it. It was hilarious. I don't like watching plenty movie anymore because I've watched 17,000 movies. Mm-hmm. But I also appreciated, like, I was having fun. It felt like the music and everything felt like my time. These little young people is in the movies having a ball. This was their movie. They was having a ball. So we get a moment to talk about that. So on Sunday, March 2nd, we had the screen printing and sign making session for the march. And then last night, Equality Bahamas' Women's Wednesdays mm-hmm. hosted and a discussion after the film with writer and director Claire Ayub. Okay, what's next?
Saturday, meet us at Eastern Parade. We will be there at 8:45 for you to get your signs. There are mm-hmm. lots to choose from, but you probably have one that you really, really want and you don't want to see it in someone else's hand, so get it when we pull it out of the vehicles. And we take off for the Dundas with our incredible chants. There will be 2 megaphones, as always, because we're just going to get more and more louder mm-hmm. as we go.
I'll be on vocal rest for the next 48 hours, so I can be very loud.
We have throat lozenges for after. And it's a quick march. It's pretty short. Within 30 minutes, we're at the Dundas
yeah.
on Mackey Street, and that is where the expo opens. We start with Zumba with Miss Deidre, and then after that, every hour, there are 2 sessions to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
One is usually a physical session, like yoga, self-defense, salsa dancing. And then one is a little bit more cerebral, so you could get into some poetry writing. You can prepare a short play for Short Tales. That mm-hmm. deadline is coming up. That's mid-May.
And that session is the playwriting is going to be hosted by Dr. Nicolette Bethel.
It is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Ring Play Productions.
Yes.
And
Shakespeare in Paradise.
And Shakespeare in Paradise. And Short Tales is a part of the Shakespeare in Paradise. All right.
Yeah, so if you're thinking about writing a 10-minute play, you don't know where to start, or you have an idea and you need to just kind of massage it a little bit, this is the space to do it.
And not just that, the 10-minute play, that's the place to start.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Because what you're going to find is just like with an essay. Oh, 1,000, 1,500 word count, I can't. And so you procrastinate, mm-hmm. and then when you get in it, you got 2 hours before the deadline and you realize you have 3,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to cut it back. Same thing with the playwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Start with the 10-minute play.
That's where I got started
in
high school.
You'll realize your first play script will be a narrative, a feature-length narrative that you have to cut back down to pick
sure.
the best scene from.
It always happens.
For 10 minutes.
You don't know how you're going to get to that word count, and then you double it, triple it, and you have to
pull it back.
Way back.
Yeah.
So it's a great space to learn a little bit more about playwriting. And we have a lot of other things going on. We will have 6260 Art Gallery, which is owned by a young woman, June Colley. Really excited to have art in the space, in a public space, particularly for those who might not find their way to a gallery for various reasons, right? It's making art more accessible. So we're really happy that they're with us for a second year. Sustainable Me will be hosting the children's space. Again, last year they made paper at the expo and had a lot of fun doing it and made some nice little messes that were very easy to clean up. Don't worry, parents. We think about you too. Mm-hmm. And we will also have the Black Box Open Mic group. And they'll be there all day. And you can kind of drop in and talk to them. And whenever they decide to do it, there's no set time. They will do improv playing around.
Right. And there's going to be improv games, improv skits, and games and skits involving the audience. And then we're going to have sessions on improv, like outside of comedy. Improv for speakers, improv for public speakers, for policymakers, for teachers, right? Improv in marketing. So tips on ad-libbing, forming talking points on the fly, reading a room, understanding what's happening around you, and then being able to enter that space as if you were always there. Things like that, as well as plenty skits and games and laughs.
I love that.
Yeah.
And those will kind of happen whenever the people there decide. But if you want to see the scheduled events, you can check out our LUMA page. So that's LU.MA/IWD, like International Women's Day 2025. That's LU.MA/IWD 2025. And you'll see all the sessions that are scheduled happening at particular times during the day. And we also have all day free massage being provided at the very beginning from 2017. Nadia will be with us, and now, everybody loves that.
Let's talk about this for a second, right? They're kind of like 5-minute or 10-minute sessions, depending on what the line looks like.
Exactly.
You don't understand until you have had somebody work on your forearm, let's say forearm, for 5 minutes, how much hidden tension is in your body, right? And even if you just come out to see what this little massage session is about, come check it out. You'd be surprised how therapeutic and supportive massage services are.
I'm glad you clarified that it's 5 to 10 minutes. I was like, so I'll be there all day. Thank you. I'll be the first and the last. Alicia, will you teach people about filmmaking at 11? Because I am a little busy.
All right, so let's talk about that, Claire. Claire Yu, writer and director of the film Empire Waste, is going to be hosting a session at the expo on Saturday. Tell us a bit about your session.
Absolutely. So I'm so excited. A big part of what was very important about this film is about body image. It's about learning to love yourself as you are. It was creating a really safe and supportive set behind the scenes, very much a feminist set of making sure that people felt safe, supported, that we led with empathy in our management. And so that really comes through. So I'll be talking a lot about that, about bringing your stories to life, your projects to life in a way that your cast and crew and you feel safe and supported, and it makes the work better. And also for anyone who has questions about filmmaking, I love answering questions. So even if you're like, how does it work? I'm there. So I'm so excited to speak.
Right, and been following what we call the Diddy Affair and examining or re-examining what happens behind the camera, what happens behind the scenes in the movies that we enjoy and celebrate. In fact, in the movies that have formed and carved our identities, right, we realize that if we knew what was happening behind the curtain, behind the scene, we wouldn't touch this movie at all.
Right.
We would boycott it and anybody who had a part in it. And so it's great to see that a movie about young people and these issues takes into account how this space could impact these same young people trying to portray these stories.
Absolutely. I mean, it's straight up what Equality Bahamas is doing, right? Making sure people are safe and they have rights that they have, that they're supported. Because you look at these spaces, especially in the arts, and you're told you're just lucky to be here, right? Keep your head down. don't complain. And that's not the truth. Every artist should have rights. Every person working behind the scenes, from the lowest level to the highest, should be taken care of and not feel afraid in their workplace, right?
It's another plantation model system where you attempt to convince you that your whole body is for sale.
Yep.
When you sign this contract and you say you're going to act, at all times, your body belongs to us, right? And it's important to break that. In another way, in the advocacy world, I find that in this advocacy space, a lot of people are unable to create organizations and policies and programming in that space that's effective because the space itself doesn't follow the rules, the constructs, the ideas that they attempt to promulgate and perpetuate in the wider society.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, whenever you're thinking like we have good hearts and we have good ideas, why are they not working? Why is our work not working? Sometimes it's because we're not reflecting those principles in our work.
Mm-hmm. You have to walk the walk as well as talk the talk, right? It's really modeling that and how you move through the world. And as I talk about in entertainment all the time, people love saying, oh, you're so nice to do that. You're so nice. I'm like, I'm not nice. I'm a good business person, right? When people feel safe in their workplace, they show up as their full selves in their workplace. They can do their job better when they're not afraid, right? Which makes the end product better. So it's looking at that and saying, are we working in a culture of fear and bullying? Who does that serve? It serves a person who's insecure. It hurts everybody else, right? So I think looking at that and having modeling of leadership, especially what is so great about having people in leadership who are usually cultivating an environment of safety and empathy, like a lot of women, right, are trained to be like, we're caregivers. That is something that translates beautifully to business because it's saying, I'm taking care of the team running the ship and making sure my team is safe and can do their work so we can do our impact work better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jessica?
I just really like that you said it's also the bottom line. You're a businesswoman. I don't think people realize how much that atmosphere of fear can really affect productivity. So being hard on yourself is unproductive. And being hard on other people will affect their productivity.
Mm-hmm.
So you think you're business-minded, but at the end of the day, you're hurting yourself and the bottom line.
I found that people who only look at what the numbers are, they treat people like numbers, are usually the first to fail in the long run.
Absolutely.
Because the morale is crushed, right? When they say, well, we're just cutting people. It's where it's happening in the U.S. right now. We're just cutting people based on when they walk. And these are people that are passionate and are coming in with new ideas that are getting cold. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at that, it hurts as they go out into the world and you're told. And this is why I love working with students and working with younger people as well as older people, saying like, just because you were told that's not the way things work around here. That's not the truth. That's the way things don't work at the place where they're not willing to change it or willing to try new things. And so I always talk about too, like if you are walking through a door and someone kicks you in the chest, the next time you walk in the door, you're not going to have your chest out, right? You're going to be protecting yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's looking at that and saying, if you want people to do good work, they can't be afraid of you, right? That's a quick way to feel powerful, but it is you're going to fall off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The ideas that are real, you see them manifesting everywhere. And that's how you know that they're real.
Mm-hmm.
You see them everywhere. Now, Ms. Wallace, what do I need to bring to this march and expo on Saturday?
I highly recommend sunblock. Mm-hmm. I did burn very nicely or horribly last year. So we'll actually have sunblock on site. But if you have, you know, sensitive skin allergies, things like that, definitely
bring your own
sunblock.
The one that
works best for you. Sunglasses, big hat to shade you from the sun, and wear comfortable clothing. We're not too bothered about, I can't really stretch the way I want to stretch in my jeans. You know.
Okay, now in terms of water containers, will there be water and beverages available? Can I buy food out there? Can I get lunch out there? What's the scene, or do I need to pack my little Georgie bundle?
We provide snacks all day. Snacks, juice, water, and Nom Nom Pita will be with us vending. So if you wanted to purchase something more substantial, you'd be able to get lunch at $10 or less.
Okay.
We're very intentional about trying to control that price point for folks.
All right. That's awesome. Water containers. We don't have cups at this event, right?
We do not. You can bring your own water bottle and refill. We'll have cold water that you can refill. We have ice always. But we do provide some pouches, some branded water pouches that are reusable. Sometimes people miss it and don't realize that they are because they look kind of like Capri Sun.
Right, because the whole point is to reduce the amount of packaging necessary.
And the amount of waste, because right. we are focused on climate justice as well. So we want to make sure that we are living our values mm-hmm. and having some good practices and sharing that with everybody else.
4 or 5 red pouches from the last expo.
That's who took all that.
No.
I have at least 3 myself.
I collected pouches that people left behind because they didn't realize how reusable they are. And how functional they are, right? Because they are little pouches like Capri Sun, but they have a D-ring. So you could clip them on mm-hmm. to your bag or to your pants, your belt loop.
And they pack flat.
Right, when they're empty. You could pack them flat and put them in a drawer. You could travel easily with them.
They always go to the beach with me.
I love that.
For that same reason.
Perfect for that.
I freeze it, so that's the ice, keeping everything cool. And then it melts, drink it, folds up nicely.
Nice and neat.
Perfect. Yeah.
You're right. Brilliant. That's brilliant.
Jessica will also be facilitating a session at the expo.
Okay.
On DIY mending.
Right.
So like mending clothes?
Yes, ma'am.
So you wore a dress you made last night.
Yes. I was telling Claire that movie was made for me.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my life I spent overweight and had to make or mend a lot of the relationship dynamics. What also relates to my main job, which is counseling. So mm-hmm. she really psychologically delved into a lot of those relationships beautifully. I'll be facilitating a session on mending your own clothing. So if you have, you know, something with a little hole or a tear or whatever, it needs to be hemmed, bring it and we'll go and explore how to do it.
So what you're talking about, see, because my Grammy, when my Grammy see me wearing jeans with holes in it, she was like, hold on, what happened? Do you need help fixing them? When I said Grammy, they came this way out the store.
Get your money back.
Yes. Because she was friends with your great Grammy. Yes. And so I explained to her that, no, this is how they came. Mm-hmm. And then, like, that's when I caught sense.
Right.
Because she's like, so you paid more money for a piece of clothing that has less actual cloth on it, is what you're telling me? Uh-huh. And I was like, you know what, Grammy? You making sense. So, the yarn?
Okay, yeah, that's a little advanced.
Okay.
You could, yeah. If your holes in your jeans are for fashion, that's fine.
Yeah.
If they're not, we could explore patching them.
Yeah.
So, if it's in a less than fashionable place, let's say, like the gusset, you could patch it and then stitch around it and get more wear out of the jeans.
Okay, I have to ask you a question.
Yes.
Where's the gusset?
Because
for women with big thighs,
right.
that part of the pants tends to wear down faster.
Always.
Right.
Always.
That was the first thing I had to learn how to mend.
Yeah.
Yes. Because the jeans are still good except for that spot. But you can't. Yeah. Oh, Grammy would not. You can't leave the house with that.
But if you get a spare piece of denim, you can patch it and get a good few more years out of them.
Also, I feel like we should just pitch those jeans. Like the fact that they are always wearing in the same place between our thighs and everything from like thighs rubbing together.
Ma'am.
I'm like something is broken here.
Yes,
like,
ma'am.
We're not listening.
Point. Yes, I mean, but it's an absolute awesome interrogation, an easy, accessible mm-hmm. interrogation of consumerist and capitalist mm-hmm. practices, right? And how these practices are biased. Right, through race and culture, mm-hmm. Because people you selling the clothes for bigger girls mm-hmm. for more money.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you then say, we're going to give you value for your money?
Yeah, well, that's why there's been a big movement. Like, speaking of Jessica making her own clothes, right, and you following a pattern, there's mm-hmm. a great company based in the US called Cashmerette, and it's run by Jenny, who basically has a larger chest and could never find clothes that fit her body. They would always be too big, too small, or gape. Mm. And so she started a company where she does patterns for bit larger bodies, curvier bodies. And mm-hmm. so people are able to make the clothes they want to wear instead of just finding clothes that fit at the store.
Yep.
And it's taking the power back in our hands as consumers and making your own stuff.
And when we when we understand the extent to which our identities, our images of ourselves mm-hmm. are actually presented to us by marketers as opposed to us carving them out ourselves, understand the power you have in helping your child through this path of, mm-hmm. of development with different options. Kids want to look hip. The fashion world says hip is sexy. Mm-hmm. Parents are looking for a space that says, no, hip is just hip. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, it don't have to be sexy. Like, what's happening here, people? These are children. What's going on?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're kind of out of time because you ladies have a very important appointment this morning for Equality Bahamas and International Women's Day. So let's run through the details of the International Women's Day March and Expo quickly.
We are marching from Eastern Parade. That is the lawn between Scotiabank East Bay and the St. Matthew's Cemetery. You can access it from Dowswell Street. So meet us there at 8:45. Get your sign, practice some chants, hit the road with us, spend about 30 minutes on the road, and we get to the Dundas close to 10 o'clock. We have a little surprise once we get to the Dundas. If you were there last year, you know the surprise. Don't tell nobody. Let them be surprised, too.
It could be fun. It could be fun. Be there.
Right?
It could be fun. Even if you have on your tennis and you sneak in and pretend like you did the march. Splash some water on your face.
Go, oh, man, my calves hurt.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss it. Even if you're just coming for the expo, I highly recommend coming before arriving.
Yeah.
Before 9:30 so that you don't miss
the surprise. Yeah.
And then at 10 o'clock, Expo officially opens with Zumba. The sessions that we talked about, you can access them. You can find them on our social media. But I also want to say part of what makes this event so fantastic is that we bring lots of NGOs to the space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So people can learn about who is in the space, what are they doing, what are the services and resources that are available, and how can I access them.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be joined by the Bahamas Crisis Center, Families of All Murder Victims, Bahamas Sexual Health and Rights Association, also known as BASHRA. We will have the Bahamas National Reparations Committee. Mm. So, you know, a lot of people have questions about reparations. That's a time to come and ask your questions and how it relates to gender justice. We have the Dignified Girl Project doing incredible work to make menstrual hygiene products available to women and girls.
They put them in schools, right?
They put them in schools. They now have dispensers that they're putting in different schools. Incredible, incredible work. If you want to make a donation, they're there, so you can just come and bring pads and tampons and give them directly to Philippa Dean, who will be there. Hands for Hunger is going to be with us. The UN Office of the Resident Coordinator will be there. So if you want to learn a little bit more about the United Nations.
And some of the agencies systems that are working in the region and in the Bahamas.
Exactly. You want to learn about IOM and the new office that just opened.
That's the International Office of Migration.
And the OHCHR, the office that's now based here.
The OAS.
The region.
Right.
You can find out more at that space and participate in some of these great activities. Where else can you go to salsa dance, get yoga, have free massage, learn how to mend your own clothes, get the inside scoop about filmmaking, mm-hmm. prepare your short tales with somebody who has written so many plays, right? And who has been on the selection committee for short tales. We're very intentional about making this space a feminist space, a family-friendly space where you can bring your children. You can have them with you in the sessions that are, you know, for adults, quote unquote, or you can release them to the children's tent to have the time of their lives. And we are very intentional about making sure that this stays free.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can get there, you can have the time of your life. And for people who are marching and mm-hmm. want to know how to get back to their cars, we will have a shuttle service every hour to take you from the Dundas to the Eastern Parade to get your car. Just make sure you bring your car back to the Dundas to spend
come
the rest
back
of the day with us.
Yeah, buddy.
Let me get on.
Good morning, caller.
Hello, good morning, Ms. Green.
How are you?
Yeah, how you doing? And good morning to your partner.
Good morning.
You know, I think I'm here. I mean, you know, I'm never against these type of narratives, but I was taken aback, and for some reason, I just can't get over what was disclosed by Marvin Johnson, GNN, on Steve McKinney's show. I don't hear anybody talking about it, so I'm vexed that.
Well, do me a favor. Tell me the end of the segment.
It was some things that happened at the dialysis unit, and what is alleged. But I wouldn't say alleged. What is going on in the dialysis unit? It's very disturbing for humanity. And so, with these ladies here, I like to start a poor rights human committee, like whereby poor people come together and find a way to raise money so that when they have a health dilemma, they don't have to go through what Mr. Johnson and what people are going through, okay?
Thank you.
This is what I really call for the rights committee. How can I get in contact with rights committee? Because.
Hold on. 52? Mute it for me. 52, I got you, right? I was about to tell the audience that if you were following the conversation on yesterday's show with C.A. Newry, when we looked at the Human Rights Committee newly formed 2023, just sat February 27th, and there's a Human Rights and Human Security Bureau that was also created in 2023, come out to the expo, talk to Officer, the Human Rights Court from the OAS.
Human Rights Office, yeah.
The Human Rights Office coming, emanating out of the OAS, and they will be able to some questions and help you form a framework for creating an advocacy organization that focuses on the needs of people living just above, hovering around, or living below the poverty line. Mm-hmm. I got for that. But I got three minutes with my guest. Caller, if you could hold the line for me, I will pick up calls after the end of this segment. So lots of partners, Reparations Committee, another great space to learn about how you can advocate around reparations. Like, I would form a committee to say any reparations needs to go directly or primarily to education. Mm-hmm. Right? There's lots of space for that. Okay, merchandise. Before I let you guys go, I went to the screen printing day. It was great. There's lots of great bandanas.
They're so cool.
So Equality Bahamas has a collection of campaign and advocacy related merchandise, t-shirts, towels, bandanas. And so how could I pick one up? Where can I find them to purchase to wear on the march, before the march? Can I purchase them at the expo or at 8:45 in the morning? Will we have enough time to sell things at that time?
They are usually available in Rabble Bookshop, which is located in Poinciana Paper Press at 12 Parquet Road. But we have taken them all out of the store in preparation for them being available at the expo.
Okay.
So people will be able to buy bandanas at the expo for $20. You can get t-shirts that we have printed. Some of them have multiple years on them, which is really cool. Those would be $25. And we have this year's shirts. It's a little bit different than shirts, but those are available for $10.
All right. And I will be promoting a print that possibly I could convince Equality Bahamas and Rabble Bookstore to make more of in collaboration with me. I don't want to talk about it. Wait till you all see it on the march.
No, don't tell them yet. Come to the march.
Yeah.
The custom print.
Just know that Dame Doris Johnson could be on the march with us.
Love it.
In spirit and on my t-shirt. Just a little sneak peek. All right, Miss Wallace. Jessica, what's your last name, Miss Jessica?
Russell.
Jessica, the Grand Bahamian. So thank you so much for coming down here and joining us on the Capitol. Things could be difficult in the archipelago moving about, and so it's important to support people on the family islands to bring them to the center, because we do most things in the center. Claire Ayoub, I have to have you back on so we could talk about them. We didn't talk about the movie, who was in it, you know, why it was so funny, why you need to bring your children to it, why we need to get this movie into the hands of people at the Ministry of Education,
Absolutely.
Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture, and to see whether we can inculcate this in the curriculum, if it's the guidance counseling unit or something. It's a wonderful film, and it's like you made it for Bahamians.
Absolutely. It's so fun. And if you want to learn more, it's at empirewastefilm.com, and we have a whole free education curriculum about body image, self-confidence that goes along with the movie. But yeah, that inclusion and diversity was vital, making sure it felt true.
Right. And look here, we were talking about something yesterday. Women and men of all ages are concerned about all of these things. Y'all see my mother out there making sure, not just that her body is right, but that her body is right so she can carry herself through this journey as long and as far as she can. Mm-hmm. And we say, look here, whenever y'all see you in the morning beating the road, bud, y'all say, beep, beep. Y'all keep it going, Mom. Keep it going, Mom.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Thank you so much, guys. We're going to a break. When we come back from the break, I'm getting to you, caller, and to some of what's in the news. You guys, stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Mike, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
He could do Junior in.
For what?
Wait, he fooled with your girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bog down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson Pen. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
I'm gonna say Lampkin. Besides carrying all the roofing material needed to cover East End, Enterprises also has all the equipment needed to put it together and to protect your workers. At Enterprises, we got hand tools, power and manual, including hacksaws, hammers, mauls, wrecking bars, well, hopefully they won't need them yet, drill bits, tapes, plumb bobs, left cement, concrete bond and fiber, lime, sand, and P-Rock. We got dust masks, safety glasses, gloves, hard hats, and high visibility vests. Lampkin, what we got here at Enterprises is a one-stop shop for builders.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Bahamas, are you ready? The world is coming to our stand for the 2025 CONCACAF Beach Soccer World Cup Qualifiers. March 11th through 16th at the Beach Soccer Stadium next to the Sydney Poitier Bridge. The Jungle Beach Boys, top five in CONCACAF, taking on Mexico, USA, and El Salvador. Beach party meets world-class soccer, non-stop action, jungle rhythms, great food, and pure vibes. And it's free. Bring your crew, ring your cowbells, beat your drums, no whistles. March 11th through 16th at the Beach Soccer Stadium. Visit BahamasFA.net for details. Bahamas Beach Soccer, pure vibes.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Producer, let's go straight to the caller. They have been waiting. Good morning, caller. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm just catching the end bit. I was trying to find on the television, but I want to say thank you for that. We have a film in education for the development of the country. So that's always a plus to know that we have productive people in society working. So that's good. But I want to pitch this to you.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to know what the public feels about having and vetting foreign teachers and Bahamian teachers to be seen if they want to watch a teacher teach their children in the classroom.
Ah.
It's a new trending market of, you know, the USA has the reality TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
We want to try it in the Bahamas with the Ministry of Education and parents who are concerned about their students and if they're being treated, given the new light of the beatings in the schools.
Okay.
That we should have an opportunity to press a button and observe, like how they did.
Okay, so you would love a space to put to the Bahamian people the question of whether, if the government will endorse corporal punishment in schools, right? And with parents' concerns about the application of corporals and whether the rules are being followed to the T, whether we should instill a policy where we have cameras in classrooms and in public areas in the school so that we can document what's happening real time and we could use that footage in case there is a query, a concern, a complaint by a student or a parent or even a teacher.
Excellent put.
All right. I mean, I think that, go on.
And because teachers are now mandated by law and it provides a varied instruction for the school classroom learners,
mm-hmm.
we don't want any teacher to think or believe that they have the right to ignore student learner level needs because there's no one observing.
Ah. All right. So we could frame it. Would cameras in schools create an environment that enhances the learning experience for young people and their various reasons? One is safety and security.
Yes.
And how we moderate our behavior when we know someone is watching.
Yes.
Right? I think that is worthy of national discourse. It may have to be led by an advocacy group, like a civil society advocacy group, and fleshed out and structured, and then you can partner with other advocacy groups. But I don't think, and it's definitely, the conversation in and of itself would be helpful.
But you know what I recommend too?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much for going so professionally. Couldn't have done it better myself. President Belinda Wilson,
mm-hmm.
Bahamas New Teachers President,
mm-hmm.
Becca Wu's President, Mrs. Sandra Major, and you can also have BEMU's President, Mr. Stephen McPhee, because they have to be a part of the conversation.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
So I'd love to hear that talk on the radio because the whole world is listening and watching.
Well, let me see if I could pull those stakeholders together for a conversation about it.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, man, absolutely. No problem. That's
Enjoy your day. Thank you.
You too. That's a wonderful idea. That's an absolutely wonderful idea. Okay, so there is a story that I wanted to talk about, and here we go. This is from yesterday's Guardian. It's the online edition. Transport minister urges drivers to slow down. One day after two individuals were killed in separate traffic accidents in New Providence, Minister of Energy and Transport JoBeth Colby Davis cautioned residents to adhere to the traffic laws. Quote, and 20 fatalities were recorded with young Bahamians under the age of 45 as the leading casualty demographic, close quotes, she said, as she contributed to the mid-year budget. So, quote, so far for 2025, 14 traffic fatalities have been reported, with 21, the data is skewed. With 21, the majority occurring on the island of New Providence. In yesterday's paper, it was reported that, I think the Tribune, that there were 11 traffic fatalities for the year. And I'm going to query it because if there were 14, how could 21 be the majority? You know, how could a majority of them be 21? Put that aside. We continue with commentary from the minister. Colby Davis said the Ministry of Transport and the Road Traffic Department have taken concrete steps to address the issue. This is what I want to talk about right here. What were those concrete steps? Quote, we've installed road safety awareness billboards throughout New Providence and the Family Islands with more to come. So they installed road safety awareness billboards. Here's the issue. Did you make sure that you didn't install the billboards in spaces where they actually obstruct the view of drivers and become a road hazard? Second concrete step is on road safety. You release several videos. Producer, prep the call. You release several videos on road safety, video messages. You all know people is watching these videos while they're driving? Just checking. Third, well, let's go to the caller, and then I'm going to go to the third after the caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Hey, Red, I just want to ask you a quick question, right?
Yes, sir.
What's going on with all these suicidal attempts and suicide today? You wouldn't know about a 63-year-old man who either attempted or committed suicide. You don't think it's something strange going on?
Okay, so I'm not sure if it was you who said that in an earlier conversation this week, what we've been experiencing has always been happening. We're just taking it seriously now?
Yeah,
I'm thinking that we've actually had this, maybe more. We've had attempts that have been, that have not, have been followed through on because people were able to seek services or they changed their mind or somebody intervened, right? So it's possible that there's less intervention now. There are less people observing and engaging in a way that prevents someone from carrying out the act. But it's definitely something to talk about. In fact, commentary in the paper over the last week and last week, I just don't have those notes in front of me at the moment.
People need to look into the medications that they're taking, right? Because these medications the doctors give you, I'm not blaming the doctors or anything, but people need to read the back of these labels, because if you look at it, they have suicidal dreams,
suicidal
attempts,
ideations,
on
yeah.
On the medication.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I want to tell you, I get transition, but thank you for making that point, right? We can't blame the doctors. It's something about the current medical culture. When you sit and watch the commercials and you hear, this is what you hear. Tell your doctor about this. Ask your doctor about this. I expect my doctor to know. My doctor's supposed to be telling me about the options that are available. Why am I, the patient, taking these things to the doctor, right? And so with the increase in medications available, the question is, does the doctor have sufficient time to ensure that you understand, that they understand and you understand all the side effects of this medication and how it could affect other medications? And that's why you could understand the position that the Bahamas Pharmaceutical Association in the medical cannabis industry discourse, and why they emphasize that pharmacists must dispense medication, because pharmacists understand the drugs. They have a broader knowledge about the drugs themselves, right? And so when you get new medication, you got to spend as much time as possible talking to the doctor and the pharmacist. Good morning, caller. How you doing?
I ran out of minutes.
Oh, sorry.
One more thing, right?
Yes, sir.
I had a stomachache the other day, right?
Uh-huh.
And I read the box of the labels. Bear in mind, I had a simple stomachache.
Mm-hmm.
I took some medication. I went to go take some medication, I should say, right? So someone told me, said, let me tear out the box of the label. Listen to the side effects. Suicidal dreams, suicidal thoughts, and extreme diarrhea.
Mm-hmm. Because you had a stomach ache.
Ms. Green, what in the world is extreme diarrhea? Ain't diarrhea already extreme? So now my stomach eating, right? I might solve my stomach, right? But I may kill myself.
Mm-hmm. And here's something that we could concrete step right now. Thank you very much, caller. We could lobby right now for legislation that says that any medicine has to have a label with letters at a certain font that are large enough for people to read without a magnifying glass. Okay, I want to get back to this article. Transport Minister urges drivers to slow down. We were interrogating briefly the concrete steps taken to address the issue iterated by the minister responsible for transport in their contribution to the mid-year budget debate. We're looking at the third concrete step after they said they installed road safety awareness billboards, with more to come, released several video messages on road safety. The third step, and increased our engagement with schools, especially high schools, on road safety. That's what I wanted to talk about. So you cannot get the police to enforce traffic controls. You can't get the police to stop people for running stop signs and red lights and driving with their cell phone in their hand and without their seatbelt on. Do you expect school students to do it? Increased our engagement with schools, especially high schools, on road safety. Students, in the last couple of weeks, I've had a number of people say to me, you think you're a police officer? I mean, I understand that you have no respect for the police or for me. That's a given, right? But I would rather be a police officer than y'all expecting children to police their parents in the car about how they drive. And then you're going to say, especially high schools on road safety. Who are going to be the primary benefactors of these sessions anyway? But what about introducing driver's ed into the school? Because maybe if the Ministry of Education, right, is responsible for the quality and standard of driver's ed, right, we could see different results from what is obviously an unpoliced driving school industry. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you? I'm good, thank you.
And today is International Women's Day, right?
No. International Women's Day is on Saturday, March 8th. Today is International Lila Green Day.
Okay.
Happy birthday to Lila Green.
Yeah. I want you to wish her for me and just to say, with reference to the comment made by the Minister of was that transport?
Yes, sir.
With the people that are uninsured, they said 1,600 of them.
Over 1,600 tickets were issued for uninsured vehicles in New Providence. See, the problem with that is we still don't know what's going on. Some of those people could have gotten multiple tickets, and some of the uninsured drivers may have not gotten a ticket at all.
So if they're not insured, that means they're not licensed either.
There you go.
Crack down on these children, because last year on the 20th of March, I had to take my car from my son for the same reason. He was driving it from the year before in October.
How old was he?
But he's 28 now. So in January that's gone, and that was,
You know, he's your child, but he that 28, 27, 26, that's not children anymore.
I know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
My son.
Yeah.
You understand where I'm coming from, but it was my car, and he wouldn't come see me, and he was driving a car from an October year before last, and on the 20th of March last year, I had to go and I tell the mechanic, come go with me. I gone on the job and took my car from him.
Mm-hmm.
Like they, when they say these people don't have respect for the road, it's a personal testimony of mine that I'm making here today. So
yes, sir.
Say happy birthday to
Mrs. Lila Green.
All right, thank you.
And thank you for sharing, sir. Thank you for sharing that personal story. All right, in today's Tribune, Minister, government will amend law on car insurance dates. Over 1,600 tickets were issued for uninsured vehicles in New Providence during the first 8 months of 2024, according to Minister of Transport and Energy, Jo Beth Colby Davis. During a contribution to the mid-year budget debate in the House, she also reiterated that the government will amend the Road Traffic Act to remove the birth month requirement for auto insurance coverage that was set to take effect soon. She emphasized that this change is necessary to avoid, quote, additional charges, close quotes, that consumers might face from insurance companies. That's why you had to make the amendment? Is it possible that you had to make the amendment because this was a poorly thought through policy and a poorly implemented policy? Is that the reason why? And I say that because I wanted to ask this question. After asking the question, do we expect school students to police their parents and guardians and bus drivers and the school bus driver on the road? Is that what we're expecting? Well, what are the factors? What are the factors that are leading to this tremendousness and lawlessness on the road and a sharp increase in traffic fatalities? So here we go. Is it a lack of traffic enforcement? Is it that police, state actors, jitneys, taxi drivers, livery drivers, tour drivers, commercial and corporate vehicles don't follow traffic controls? Is it a general disregard for traffic laws and controls? Is it a lack of road markings and signage and awareness of what they actually mean? Is it poorly constructed and maintained roads? Is it poor and or non-existent lighting on roads and highways? Is it that state actors refuse to acknowledge what the problem actually is? Anyway, the way y'all drive on the road, I have to buy a new horn every year. Because I can blow my horn. I could blow my horn before I let you push me into a wall or into another car. Oh, I could blow it. I can blow it before you cause the angels blow the trumpet for me. What you mean? Anyway, you guys, I hope to see you out. I mean, I hope to hear you tomorrow. Because we come back for another day of On the Clock with Erin Green. But I hope I see you out on Saturday, the 8th of March. We start at the Eastern Esplanade. We're marching to the Dundas. It's the International Women's Day March and Expo. See you there.
This streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.